All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, as we continue to go verse by verse and chapter by chapter in the Word of God in the Gospel of Luke, we find ourselves in chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 20 to 23. And Father, we are grateful that we can be in your Word. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Luke 6, 20 to 23, the title of this message is The Pathway to Happiness. The Pathway to Happiness. And there are many pathways the world gives that promises us happiness. One pathway is through pleasure. The world says if we live to please ourselves, we will be happy. And we have found that not to be true, and we still come up unhappy. The second pathway to happiness is through relationships. We say, if I had him or if I had her, oh, then I will really be happy. This doesn't work either because all of us have seen how people have brought us unhappiness. The third pathway the world says is to be happy is through the pursuit of fame and money. And all we have to do is look at Hollywood and find that many celebrities are so very unhappy. So is there a true pathway to happiness? Yes, there is. Jesus will show us four pathways to happiness in these particular verses. Now, in verses 20 to 49, we have an abbreviated version of Matthew chapters 5 through 7, which is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. There is evidence to support that this is a different sermon, but he touches on the same subject that he did in Matthew 5 through 7. Look what he says there in verse 20. He says there, it says, then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. The first thing we're going to look at is the word blessed in verse 20. I want to draw that to your attention. So many people, you talk to them, hey, how you doing? Blessed. And what is this going on? Blessed. And I'm blessed. And blessed to be stressed. And all. So what does that word mean? What does it mean? We have to dig into that. Now, these sayings are commonly called the Beatitudes. Beatitudes comes from the Latin word beatus, which means happy. Our United States Constitution guarantees the pursuit of happiness, but Jesus' Constitution points out the pathway to happiness. The Greek word for happy is makarios, which means happy or fortunate or blissful. Homer used this word to describe a wealthy man. Plato used this word to describe a successful businessman. The fullest meaning of this word had to do with an inward contentedness that is not affected by circumstances. And this is the kind of happiness God described for his children, a state of joy and well-being that does not depend on physical, temporary circumstances. As we will see, the Beatitudes will seem to contradict one another. In other words, their conditions and their corresponding blessings do not seem to match. By normal human standards, such things as humility and mourning and desire for righteousness, mercy and persecution are not the stuff happiness is made of. So let's dive in so we can get a better look at what Jesus is trying to say to us. Notice what he says there. Blessed are you poor. The Greek word for poor is patochos, and it means to shrink or to cower or to cringe, which is what beggars did in this day. In classical Greek, they used this word to refer to a person reduced to total destitution, who crouched in a corner begging. So this term not only means simply being poor, but it means begging poor. It is used in Luke 16, verse 20 to describe the beggar Lazarus. And someone who is patochos, poor, is completely dependent on others for sustenance. He has absolutely no means of self-support. Now, Jesus is referring to being poor in spirit. And this is the first pathway to happiness, is being poor in spirit, which means to recognize one's spiritual poverty apart from God. Those who are poor in spirit, they recognize their total spiritual destitution and complete dependence on God. This means that your pride is gone, your self-assurance is gone, and you are empty empty-handed before God. Jesus put this attitude first because humility is the foundation of all other graces. Humility is the basic element in becoming a Christian, according to Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. You remember he says, unless you be converted and be like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom. Pride has no place in God's kingdom. And until we surrender our pride, we cannot even enter the kingdom. The door into the kingdom is low, and no one who stands tall shall ever enter it. And maybe you're here and you're saying, you know what? I struggle with this thing called pride. I struggle with pride. How can I obtain humility? There's three ways. A, humility is obtained when we take our eyes off of ourselves and we look to God. See, it wasn't until Isaiah and Peter saw the Lord that they saw the depth of their sin. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he was like, oh, woe is me, for I'm undone. When Peter had an encounter with the Lord, he said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Whenever we have an encounter with God, we're in his presence, we see our own sinfulness. Well, I was talking about it. I was teaching our leadership class this morning. And we were just talking about how much pride and arrogance and self-centeredness that is in the church today, especially in leadership today. And it's amazing because if pride and arrogance is taken out of the way when we're in the presence of God and we enter God's presence through worship and prayer, what do you think is the one ministry, the one service at church that folks do not attend? And that's the service of prayer. Whenever we have prayer service, there's always the faithful few and everyone else does their own thing. What is the most successful and the most well attended service of the church? Whenever we got a potluck or some food or something to eat, you know, then folks come piling in. The point is this. If we enter God's presence and we're humbled in God's presence through prayer, don't be shocked that there's arrogance and cockiness and pride in the church. Because if it's in prayer that we're humbled before God, why do you think folks don't come to prayer? Because we're so full of ourselves. That's why the church is full of arrogance and cockiness and self-centeredness. It's because it is in the presence of God that we see our own sinfulness. We enter that presence through prayer. And if there's one service, I know we're not going to have well attended, and that's prayer. Because folks still want to live for the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. And folks just want to please themselves. Who wants to be in the presence of God and have God expose your mess and expose your own sinfulness? No one wants that. No one wants that. And so here it is here. Humility is obtained as when we take our eyes off ourselves and we look to the Lord. The second way we can obtain humility is B. Humility is obtained when we avoid those things that promote pride. Rather than looking for praise and compliments and popularity, we should be wary of them because it can produce pride. The evil is not in being given praise, but in seeking it and glorying in it. Doing things and saying things to get people to compliment and to praise us. I believe false humility is even worse. Pretending to be humble when we're filled with pride. Just for example, oh, you're such a blessing to me. And then we respond, oh, no, no, I'm nothing. You know, it's the Lord. I'm nothing. And we say that so they can say, no, 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 you're great. We love you. We great. And we're like, oh, yeah, I'm great. No, you love you. Beware of false humility. Getting people to do things and say things. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm no different than you. I know how to word things. I know how to ask a certain question to get you to praise what I just did or what I just said or whatever. I know how to do that. I'm no different than you are. I know how to do that and do that stuff just to get the pat on the back or just to get some reassurance or some sort of, and then you come off with the false humility. I understand all of that. And that is something for us to be aware of. Spiritual pride as well as false humility. Two extremes we need to be wary of. The third way we can obtain humility is C. We can obtain humility is by asking God for it like David did. You remember what David said in Psalm 51 verse 10 when he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right or steadfast spirit within me. Humility, like every other good gift, it comes from God. Now, just understand, when we ask God to make us humble, just know that everything will be sent your way that will bring you to your knees. People will say and do things to you that will humble you. The way humility is obtained is by us going through humbling situations. That's just like when a person tells me, guess what? Lately I've just been praying for patience. And I always look at them with a smile and just say, be ready. Because God is going to send everything your way where you have to exercise patience. That's how you gain patience, is by going through things that you have to exercise patience. That's how you are humble, by going through humbling situations. That's how it's done. It's not through osmosis. Lord, make me humble. Then right after you finish that prayer, I'm humble now. And that's the tricky thing about humility, because the moment you think you're humble, then you're prideful. That humility is something other people say about you and you don't say about yourself. So at the moment you say, well, you know, I am pretty humble, you blew it. You blew it. Blew it. Now you're into pride again. You blew it. So this is the thing we have to see. We have to see God will take us through humbling situations so we can exercise humility. So blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. This is the first pathway we get on to obtain happiness. The second pathway of happiness is in verse 21. Look what it says there in verse 21. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Let's just stop right there. Blessed are you, I want to draw to your attention, blessed are you who hunger now. The second pathway to happiness is by being hungry. It's by being hungry. Now, as you can see, this is not talking about physical hunger, but being hungry for spiritual things. You've heard me say many, many times that my wife is an outstanding cook. But if I stopped off at Chick-fil-A before I go home, it doesn't matter what she cooked, even my favorite dish, I will not have an appetite for it because I am full of junk food. And I believe that a lot of you are like this spiritually. You have lost your appetite for spiritual things. You've lost your appetite for worship. So you know the fruit of that? You come late. You lost your appetite for the word of God, the pure milk of the word of God, like 1 Peter 2:2 says, because you are full of the McDonald's of self-importance, the Burger King of self-interest, and the Wendy's of self-indulgence. And when we're full of junk food, the junk food of TV, the junk food of the computer, we will have no appetite for spiritual things and the things of God. This is why being poor in spirit has to be first, because we must be emptied of self before we can have a hunger and an appetite for the things of God. What would be the result? What would be the result of this? What would be the result when we're emptied of ourselves and self-interest and self-indulgence? What would be the result of it? Notice the second part of verse 21. It says, for you shall be filled. Being full speaks of being satisfied, being fulfilled. Are you full and satisfied spiritually? I ask because there is nothing like the feeling you have when you have your favorite dish, your favorite meal, whatever that is. And then you sit back, you full of it. You just sit there, you know, just rub your belly a little bit, just feeling good and full. Have you ever felt that way spiritually? Have you ever felt that way when you leave church and leave Bible study or small group or your time where you're reading the word of God in the morning or late at night? Have you ever just left and just, you know, late at night you read the word and you just like, ooh, I'm so full, I can go to sleep now. Oh my good, because you know you're going to sleep physically when you get full of your favorite dish. It is night time. I just wonder, have you ever felt that way spiritually? Well, you left church and you just like, you know, oh, I'm just full of the word. If some people left out at the first service. One guy left out and said, you know, whew, I was burping. Ooh, that word was good today. And I understood that. I understood what he was talking about, just being full of the word, being satisfied spiritually. And this is how the Lord wants us to feel spiritually, full and satisfied with the word of God. The third pathway to happiness is in the third part of verse 21. Notice what it says there. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are you who weep now. Now, what a paradox in verses. Blessed or happy are those who weep now. No, if I'm weeping, it is obvious that I'm not happy. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is talking about shedding tears over the things that he shed tears for. Weeping for the things that breaks his heart. For example, tears for the lost, crying for lost mankind, shedding tears over how divided and weak the church is today, weeping over the spiritual condition of our nation. And we have to check our own hearts in this area, because one of the things that we have to ask ourselves, do we weep in this kind of way? Do we weep for lost mankind, those who don't know the Lord? And we know that they're on their way to hell. Do we weep over that? Do we even care? See, but we have a promise in God's word that those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. That's why the last part of verse 21 says, for they shall laugh. Blessed are those who weep now, for they shall laugh. Joy will fill our hearts as we see lost relatives and lost co-workers and neighbors coming to know Jesus Christ, coming to know him as their Lord and Savior. Joy will fill our hearts. Does your heart break for the spiritual condition of those on your job? What about your neighbors? Some of you don't even know your neighbors. Some of you don't even care to know them. Does your heart break for them? When was the last time you shed a tear over the spiritual condition of our nation? When was the last time you shed a tear over the spiritual condition of lost relatives? In order for us to shed one tear, we must be emptied of self. We must first be poor in spirit. As long as we are full of ourselves, we will not care about other people, especially those who are lost. And we have to be emptied of ourselves, emptied of who our agenda. We still, many of us, worship at the altar, the unholy altar of me, myself, and I. And it's all about us. It's all about our thing and what we do and what we got going on. And we can care less about a neighbor. We can care less about a relative and their spiritual condition. Something isn't right. When we find that our heart doesn't break for the things that break God's heart, then something isn't right. It should tell us that something is not right with the ticker here. Because Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost. And if we're to be like him, that should be our heart's desire as well. And when it's not, then something isn't right. We're full of ourselves and full of what we got going on and our thing and our situation and our problem and my pain and my situation, my unfortunate thing. And we're so full of what we have going on that so often we have blinders on. We can't see anybody else because it's only about me, myself, and I and what we have going on. And we can't see anyone else. So we can care less about that neighbor. Matter of fact, you don't even want to see him. I don't even want to see you because I'd be forced to wait, have to wave and put on a fake smile. I don't even want to see you. Coworkers, you know, I can't stand them on the job. They get on my nerve. That lets you know something's not right here. Something isn't right. And that's why being poor in spirit is the first one he deals with. The first thing, we have to be emptied of self. Before we can hunger, they progress. We have to be emptied of self in order for us to hunger. We have to be emptied of self before we can be filled. We have to be emptied of self before we can weep for the things that breaks his heart. We must be emptied of ourselves. The fourth pathway to happiness is in verse 22. Look what it says there. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil. Hold up, hold up. The fourth pathway to happiness is when people hate you. Really? Here's another paradox. Happy when people hate us? I thought if I had these beatitudes working in my life pretty good, you know, that, hey, that everyone, you know, would like me. I'd be the most popular person around. No. If these attitudes are working in your life, people will hate you for it. You will be slandered. You will be excluded from company parties. They will speak evil of your name, falsely accuse you of things. Now, on the other hand, some people hate you because you're weird. Arrogant, full of yourself, or just being a jerk, and they hate you for those reasons. Then you try, don't cry out. I'm being persecuted for righteousness' sake. No. You're being hated and reviled and excluded because you deserve it. Let's just take that. You deserve it. Jesus is saying just the opposite. Happy are you when people, they hate you because they hated Jesus. So you're blessed in that particular sense because they did the same thing to Jesus. It lets you know that you're living right. Because they persecuted Jesus. They hated him. So they persecute you and hating you because Jesus in you. And he said, you are blessed. Look what it says there in verse 23. It says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner, their fathers did to the prophets. Now, the Lord is saying that we can rejoice when we are being persecuted for righteousness' sake for two reasons. Number one, great is your reward in heaven. Not just you have a reward in heaven, but great is your reward in heaven. That's the first reason you can rejoice when you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. The second reason is you're in good company. You're in good company. You're associated with those faithful witnesses throughout history who were persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know why this brings us comfort? There's something wicked and kind of crooked about us that misery loves company. So when we hear you're in good company, oh, somebody else is going through this too. You know, there's something kind of crooked about us that kind of like that. But you're in good company. Now, if you would notice, I want you to just peek and notice that verse 24 starts off with the conjunction but. As you know from school, that but is the conjunction of contrast. Meaning Jesus is about to tell us how not to be happy, that we will look at God's will next week. All right. Let me conclude with this. Today we looked at four pathways to obtain happiness. Number one, happy are those poor in spirit. Understanding that you are bankrupt with God, meaning that there is nothing you can do to save yourself. There's nothing you can do. And do you understand that? That's the one of the pathways to being happy, is that there's nothing you can do. The Lord has to do it all. And he did by going to Calvary's cross for you and for me. We're bankrupt before God. Number two, the second pathway to being happy, happy are those who are hungry spiritually, having an appetite for spiritual things. Where's your appetite today when it comes to spiritual things? Does your spiritual stomach growl? Have you ever had your spiritual stomach grumbling for the things of God, for spiritual things? If not, then it could be because of too much junk food in your life. It could be a person. It could be something you're doing that the Lord is pointing to right now. You say, you know what? You don't have an appetite for spiritual things because of this in your life. And you know what that is. The third pathway to being happy is happy are those who weep. Do you weep for the things Jesus weeps for? He weeps for lost people, lost relatives, co-workers and friends. And if you want to laugh, it's by sharing and talking to them about Jesus Christ and see them giving their lives to him. Joy will fill your heart. The fourth and final pathway to happiness is happier are you when people hate you. The reason you are hated is because you know that you're living for Jesus and they hated him. And they hated him. Make sure they're not hating you for other reasons, though, but that it's for righteousness' sake. May you experience the happiness that these verses promises us this week and not look for the happiness that the world promises. We know all of us have tried in one way or another to try to be happy the world's way. And it just leaves us empty. It just leaves us destitute. It just leaves us not happy at all. It makes us unhappy. May you find true happiness that's only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ and walking with Him. May you experience that today in your own heart, in your own life today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We're grateful for the things you've shared with us today. And Lord, I just pray that you will work in people's lives and work in their hearts. Lord, drawing people unto you today. Lord, I just pray that you would show those who are so filled with junk food of this world and that is robbing them of spiritual things. And Lord, I just pray, God, that Lord, we would just spend more time in your presence, that we would be humbled in your presence. Lord, forgive us for allowing our lives to be so full of pride and arrogance. Forgive us, Lord. May we spend more time in your presence looking to you, Lord, to do a work in our hearts. Lord, I pray for those who are here who have not surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. I pray that today they will repent of their sin, that they will realize and say, Lord, I'm poor in spirit. I'm bankrupt without you. And Lord, I pray that you will come and fill their lives. Do a work in your people's hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen.